Delighted to welcome back again tonight
Reverend William Whiteside from our Banbridge Church. We enjoyed our brother's fellowship on Friday evening and welcome him most sincerely and warmly tonight in the Saviour's name. I'm going to ask him to come now and to bring the word that God has laid upon his heart for this service this evening.
Well, we do thank your minister for his warm words of welcome, and it is good to be with you this evening on this special occasion. In more ways than one, I made the foolish mistake of coming up over the mountain road tonight. And I am persuaded that that road is narrower than when I lived here. There are deeper holes in it than when I lived here. And the drivers are wilder than when I lived here. And that is saying something. Because one overtook me, would you believe, at Spelga, near the Bad Bend. He overtook me there. So I'm glad to be here in one piece. I think I'll go home to Newcastle, to be truthful with you. So it is good to be here and to share with you in these special meetings, as you remember the 40 years that have passed and the blessing of God upon the work here. How good it was to hear George. He revealed things that I didn't know tonight. And it was most encouraging to hear him speak and to share that with us. Those very early days when those young men took that very brave step and stepped outside the camp for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it was a joy for me to come here and minister in this house for some 6 years to share with you in the wilderness journey and in the battle for the Lord. And we made some very, very good lifelong friends. And just in case you think I was sort of a crick in the neck, it's not that. Every time I looked down, somebody else smiled up at me and I was going like this, you know. So I don't have a crick in the neck. Good to see the Reverend Harris here, but I do wish he'd have sat somewhere where I couldn't see him. So it's good to be with you tonight. We're going to turn in God's holy word to the book of Psalms and the Psalm 115. The Psalm 115. And we'll just read through the psalm together, commencing at the first one. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Tonight I would like us to look for a little while at the first one of this psalm. The psalmist writes, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And perhaps you could add the first two, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" In the former psalm, the past wonders which God had wrought for Israel were recounted for his glory and for his honor. In this 115th psalm, we find that God is entreated to glorify himself again, because the heathen were presuming that there would be no more miracles wrought by God on Israel's behalf. Indeed, they were altogether denying the miracles of former ages and insulting the people of God with the question, "Where is now their God?" It grieved the hearts of the godly that Jehovah should be thus dishonored, and treating their own condition of reproach as unworthy of notice, they beseech the Lord at least to vindicate his own name, saying in our text, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." The psalmist is evidently indignant that the worshippers of foolish idols should be able to put such a taunting question to the people who worship the only true and living God. And having spent his indignation in sarcasm upon the images of their makers, he proceeds in the psalm to exhort the house of Israel to trust in God and to bless his name. As those who were dead and gone could no longer sing psalms unto the Lord among the sons of men, he exhorts the faithful who were then living to take care that God is not robbed of his praise. And then he closes with an exulting hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we look at our text for tonight, there are just three thoughts I would like to leave with you concerning it. I asked your minister, "When do you want the meeting over?" "Oh," he said, "well, take whatever time. Don't worry about time. Take whatever time you need." Now, Brother Raymond Hanno was with me in America way back many years ago, and I said to the pastor in whose church I was preaching, "How long have I to preach? What time do you want the meeting over?" He said, "Oh, brother," he says, "don't you worry about time. You just take whatever time you like. Just like your minister." See, the next time I went back to that church, he said, "Oh, by the way, brother, we want this meeting over at such and such a time." So that's a dangerous thing to say. But I'm glad you're in no hurry home, for we'll be here for a while. As we look then at the text, no, I'll not keep you that long. There are just three thoughts I'd like us to consider. There is, in the first place in our text, what we might call a proper review of the past. We find that the psalmist says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Now, as we have indicated in the foregoing psalm, Israel had been praising the Lord for the former miracles that he had wrought on their behalf. And now, in this psalm, this one of the hallelujah psalms, they are anxious to give God the glory for the great wonders that he had wrought. The repetition of the words, "not unto us," would soon seem to indicate a very serious desire to renounce any glory which they might at any time have proudly appropriated to themselves, and also sets forth the vehemency of their wish that God would at any cost to them magnify his own name. They loathed the idea of seeking their own glory and rejected the thought with the utmost disgust, again and again disclaiming any self-glorying motive in their supplication. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." Now, as a congregation here tonight and at this time, you're looking back over 40 years and remembering and recalling the good things that God has done for you and the wonderful blessings of the past. In many ways, they can be looked upon as miraculous. Who would have thought, way back in those days, when a handful of young men decided to take a stand for the Lord Jesus, that you would be where you are here tonight 40 years later, that God would have done what he has done? Certainly, God has done wonderful things for you and for us, whereof we are glad. Now, it must be admitted that we may not have seen as much as we'd like to have seen. There are many yet out of Christ that no doubt you're praying for and you would like to see saved, and some perhaps you've been praying for years. And I know even as a denomination we've been praying for revival even this week, and the first full week of every January our denomination meets here in this church to pray for revival. Revival which we have not seen, though in the early days of the church it is true there was what we might call a taste of revival, a little revival, a little reviving, though the men then perhaps didn't realize it as much as we do now looking back upon it. Not only so, but there is still a great deal of backsliding and worldliness and carnality about many of God's professing people. And it's sad to see that. It's sad to see people in all our congregations who seem to have lost the zeal, lost the enthusiasm that they used to have for the Lord. It used to be you couldn't keep them out of the prayer meetings. Now they're never at the prayer meetings. Used to be they were anxious to bring the unconverted into the meetings. Now they never bother. They hardly come themselves to a gospel meeting. And it's sad to see that. We cannot conceal our disappointment in this respect. And as we look at the land in which we live, surely we would like to have seen better things. We would like to be in a better situation than what we find ourselves in tonight. So we must acknowledge that there are things we'd like to have seen but we haven't seen, and a certain sense of disappointment that revival that we've been praying for hasn't come yet. And I remember the Friday night prayer meeting here for revival. And there's one prayer meeting especially sticks in my mind. It was a Friday night and I was off at presbytery. So the men, there's only the men folk gathered because of the lateness of the hour, not really discriminated against the ladies. But because of the lateness of the hour, the men folk were gathered for prayer. and I was off at presbytery. Now, presbyteries in those days, well, there was more than George a lot younger. Everybody was a lot younger, including Dr. Paisley and the men, and those presbyteries seemed to go on forever. And I remember coming home, coming down that road that I was talking about tonight, passing the church, and the day was breaking, and birds were singing the dawn chorus, and I noticed the lights still on in the prayer room in the church, and I stopped and I went in, and the men never even noticed me coming in. They were lost to all sense of time, and they had been praying in a very wonderful way, not only one after the other, but each one was complimenting each other. As one would pray, the other would join in and add his bit, and another would join in, two or three going at the one time, and it was a blessed time of prayer. I remember I just went off to America to do some meetings over there for Dr. Marion Giler, and I was preaching in a little church in Sainsville, Ohio, and that was after that prayer meeting, and there were 30 precious souls from Monday to Friday profess faith in Christ. And I believe it was a result of that prayer meeting. So we've been praying for revival, and there's a disappointment that perhaps it's not here. But nevertheless, we must look back and say, God has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We can still magnify and bless the name of the Lord for His great mercy and His great goodness to us, bringing this congregation into being in the first place. That's a wonderful thing. If it hadn't been for the Lord, it never would have got off the ground. Neither this congregation nor the denomination. The Lord has brought it into being for such a time as this, and the end is not yet. So don't lose heart. To see this congregation grow and develop over the years is a great blessing. To see this lovely building in which we are worshipping tonight, and to see the church, the Christian school building, and the work there. Surely these are things to thank God for. And what about the blessing of unity and harmony and peace that has prevailed in the church through the years? Now that's a blessed thing, at a time when there is a lot of division, a lot of backbiting and falling out in many congregations. God has maintained the unity and the harmony of this congregation. What about God's sustaining grace? Keeping the work going on from strength to strength. Nothing large, but growing gradually through the years and sustaining the work, providing temporally and materially. Surely God is blessed. He is blessed numerically. He has widened your witness. Good to see the Reverend Harris here tonight. And before I left for Canada, I remember the men negotiating for the old property. And that, surely that was the work of God, because there were two sites there, if my memory serves me right. Mind you, my memory's not what it used to be. I was in with a dear sister in the Lord, she was a nurse, and I was in the middle of telling her something, and I forgot what I was telling her. Well, I says, I'm getting old, sister. Oh, she says, no, Mr. Whitehead, it's just a wee senior moment. Well, I've been having an awful lot of senior moments lately. But anyway, I remember there were two sites down there in the old building, and there were two bidders for it, and they were all the two of them were looking at one particular site. So while they were differing over that, the church here became aware of the fact that this was on the market, and they stepped in and bought the whole site and bought that rebuilding. Now, that was just before I left. What a blessing to see now the lovely new building that they have there in Anglong, and another thriving congregation, and no doubt God will bless our brother and the ministry there that lies ahead. And what a blessing to see the new school. We were talking about it at the beginning many years ago. I remember having meetings to see what parents would be interested in having a Christian school. All these things have come into being. God has blessed, and the work has prospered. Let's not forget what God has done, and let's give Him the glory
For all these blessings, let us give the glory and say with the psalmist, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. The psalmist, by this repetition, also implies our natural tendency to self-idolatry. I was reading Bishop Ryle, and Bishop Ryle, he was speaking about the idolatry that grew up in the Roman Church. And he said, we shouldn't wonder about that, because idolatry is native to the human heart. It's a plant that grows in the native soil of the human soul. And the greatest idol of them all is the idol of self. And so it is that there's a tendency for us to magnify ourselves. And our text reflects that difficulty. And the difficulty of cleansing our hearts from self-reflections and self-glorying. As Paul shook off the viper from his hand into the fire, so let us shake off everything that looks like attributing success to ourselves, even to our prayers, or our tears, or our devotion, or our sacrifices. Let all the glory be given to God alone, for to Him all glory belongs. This is a way we have to refute the past. We have to refute it and give glory to God and acknowledge God's hand in all. But then there is also in our text set before us the path to true piety. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. True religion does not seek its own honor. Self-seeking is the exact opposite of the spirit of the true Christian. The true Christian would rather strip himself and say, not unto me, but unto thee, O Lord, be all honor and glory. The true Christian seeks no crown to put upon his own head, even if the world would press it upon him. He says, not unto me, not unto me. And if we seek a crown, it is that we might have a crown to leave and to lay at the Savior's feet. The true Christian does not wish for honor. He has done with self-seeking. His one great object now is to glorify God. Unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And this is how it should be in all our service for God. If we have even as a small part of our motives to be esteemed of men, then we do not truly serve the Lord Christ, but we serve self. A true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ loathes himself when he finds that this evil habit has fastened itself upon him, and he cries, no, Lord, not unto me, not unto me, but unto thy name give glory. We are in all our labors then to seek to glorify God, not to glorify self, not to glorify a party, but to glorify God. Our motto should always be, glory be to God. And this also ought to be so in our praying. The only prayer of the right kind is that which is offered for the glory of God. If we pray that people will think that we have a great gift for prayer, then our prayers will only bounce off the ceiling. God doesn't hear such prayers. If our prayers are simply for the advancement of our particular cause, and not with an eye to the glory of God, then our prayers fall fruitless to the ground. In all our praying, we should be praying for the glory of God. In all our labors we should be laboring for the glory of God. In all our efforts and all our service we should be seeking the glory of God. In our prayers we should be seeking the glory of God. And you know, my dear friend, praise that is not God-centered is not praise. Praise that is not God-centered is not praise. There's a lot of so-called Christian music today, and it's only entertainment. It only has entertainment value, if you want to say it has value. Because it's not God-centered. I was sitting in a meeting on one occasion, and there was a young person singing, doing their best, and didn't probably know any better. But I wasn't the preacher, and the preacher was sitting beside me, and he was a senior man, and he listened to the soloist, and he said to me, leaned over to me, he says, "No, brother, the Lord was not even mentioned in that piece of music. It was all a lot of soapy, tearful, emotional stuff, but the Lord and His glory was not in it at all." And the same brother said to me on another occasion, he says, "Brother, sing a hymn before I preach." He says, "I couldn't preach after that rubbish." Listen, I tell you, God needs to be the center of our praise. His glory ought to be the center of our praise. We ought to seek to glorify God. The right spirit in which to do everything is to do all to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, whether we wake or sleep, whether we live or die, we ought to seek to glorify God. Our charitable work, for instance, it is sadly possible to engage in such work merely to satisfy our own conscience, or that we might be thought generous. It's even possible to desire to be a successful preacher, to be applauded by our brethren and considered some great orator. If we just seek self, then God will not bless us. Brothers and sisters, let us, as far as possible, remove ourselves from the glance of every human eye, that all that we do might be done for the Lord Jesus and for His glory. But you know, our text is also a powerful plea in prayer. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." C.H. Spurgeon said that prayer that has God's glory as its object — I'm not quoting him now verbatim, but this is the gist of what he said — "a prayer that has God's glory for its object has its origin in God's eternal decrees. A prayer that has God's glory as its aim and object originates in heaven, and it goes back to heaven, and it obtains great things from God. Moses is an example of how this plea prevails with God. When he was on the mount with God, and Jehovah threatened to destroy the idolatrous Israelites, Moses pleaded with God in prayer, Exodus 32, verses 12 through 14, saying, 'Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he, that is God, bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own name, or by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And then we read, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Moses pleaded the glory and the honor of God, and it prevailed with God. Joshua did likewise. At Israel's defeat at Ai, in Joshua 7 and 9, we find Joshua praying, "What wilt thou do unto thy great name? What wilt thou do unto thy great name? Joshua could not say, Lord, hear me for Israel's sake, for they were utterly unworthy. He did not dare to say, deliver us, Lord, for my sake. He had not that conceit or that sense of self-righteousness to present such a plea as that. He could not even say, hear us for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's sake, for the people had broken the covenant which God made with their fathers. So he pleaded with the Lord. Think of thine own honor. Think of thy great name. Think of thy repute among the heathen. And thus he prevailed. Brethren and sisters, in all our times of distress, we will do well to urge this plea with God. Let us, in the years that lie ahead, you've completed 40 years. You're sort of, as it were, coming out of the wilderness. Let's trust you're coming into the promised land now. Let's trust for greater things and better things in the days that lie ahead. May we see the young men rise up, the younger generation, who don't remember what George was talking about, who don't remember the earlier days, who have been brought up in this church, and perhaps do not appreciate the stand that the church has taken, the sacrifice that people have made, and the great things God has done. May God open your eyes, and may the young men rise up, the young people, not only the young men, we need the young women, rise up and carry the work forward as the older ones lay down, as it were, the banner, as age creeps on and are no longer able to carry the banner. Their strength fails them and they pass away from the scene of time into the presence of God. Lift up the banner and go forward in God's name, seeking the glory of God. And in all things seek the glory of God. And God will prosper you and He will bring you in to rich blessing if you seek the glory of God. Let us plead for men. Let us plead for women, that they might be saved for God's glory. Let us plead, Lord, save souls, to make thy grace the more illustrious. Do it that the world may admire thy wonderful compassion. Then men may see that thou canst do what thou canst do when thou dost bear thine arm, thine almighty arm, and magnify thy deeds of grace. Oh, let us use this as a great plea in prayer. And it's also a very practical pointer to guide us in the future and in every decision of life, every decision we as individuals have to make, every decision this congregation has to make, the minister in session of this church has to make. Let this guide our steps. Let us seek the glory of God. Let us say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. When we have choices to make on an individual basis and we're not sure what to choose, let us say, Lord, what will glorify you the most? Young people, even if it's a choice of job, I was very pleased. There was a young lassie in our congregation in Banbridge, and she's at university and she was doing a summer job, and they were so pleased with her work that the boss offered her permanent employment and offered to finance the rest of her education if she would sort of come back to them and work. And she says, no. He says, why not? She says, because it would involve Sunday work, sir. Now, when she was working part-time, she didn't work Sunday. So he upped the ante with her and offered, look, if you come, we can't promise you'll never work on a Sunday, but we will keep that in mind, and it'll only be if it's necessary. She says, no, sir, I can't work on a Sunday. She turned her back on a very, very good offer of employment and wages and prospects. She said, no. And the boss, the manager, whatever he was greatly impressed. He was not a Christian. He says, young woman, not too many say no to money. But she did. Thank God for a lot of our young people. Oh, some of them need a wee bit of a spur on. But some of them are the best of our young people in this land. If you have to make a decision, seek God's glory. Even if it means temporal loss, even if it means your prospects are not as good, seek God's glory. As a congregation, seek God's glory. You'll have to make decisions, and you'll not be popular. Remember the stand the men, the founding fathers of this church made. Remember their sacrifice. It wasn't easy. They lost friends. They didn't fall out with anybody, but people fell out with them, as George told us. It was hard in those days. There was a certain amount of persecution. Even your children at school were discriminated against by the teachers because of who you were. But ask not what is the easy way. What is the popular way? But what will glorify God? Stick to that path and go forward. And in the years that lie ahead, stand up for the Lord. When the older generation pass away, you carry the battle on until God brings you into the land of promise and say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.
Let's hand our hearts together in a word of prayer. We do thank the Reverend Whiteside for bringing God's word tonight, a word in season, and may the Lord write it upon our hearts for his name's sake. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray we might ever be a people who seek to glorify the Lord. Lord, we know tonight that without thee we can do nothing. Without thee this work could never have commenced. It could never have continued. It could never have increased. It could never face the future. But Lord, we thank thee that thou hast not left us. And we look forward, Lord, to thy rich blessing in the days to come. We pray, Lord, that whatever we do, we would do it for thy glory and for thine honor. We thank thee tonight that thou art God above. And there is none before thee, there is none beyond thee, for thou art God alone, and all the glory belongeth unto thee. Lord, take up our thanks for thy presence with us tonight. It has been good to be in the house of God. It's been good to be around thy precious word. And Lord, bless thy word to our hearts. We pray for any who are not saved in this meeting, that Lord, thou would save them by thy grace. Bring them speedily into Christ. We pray of thee. Remember us tomorrow. Bless our ministers as they gather for prayer. Bless our service tomorrow night. And Lord, we bring before thee tonight those ministers of our church who are not well, that thou will bless them, be with them, put thy tender hand upon them at this time. And if it please thee, Lord, raise them up to health and strength. Again we pray. Part us now with thy blessing, in thy fear and with thy favour, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.